And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, also online at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. We are very pleased to bring you today Greta Berlin. She is one of the co-founders of the Free Gaza Movement and the co-editor of the current book that's going around, Freedom Sailor. So Greta, thanks very much for being on our program today.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Well, you know, it was an easy choice. We know you, I guess you could say, we know you from Sandra Roosh. In the case of myself and the listeners of this program, Sandra does a lot of great work with independent Jewish voices in this province. And she told us that you were going to be touring and that she was helping with that tour. And we know Sandra from her participation in the Flotilla and on this radio program. But this, for most of our listeners, is the first time hearing from you. Would it be possible if you could perhaps tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've been involved with Justice for Palestine for almost 45 years. I started shortly after 1967. But the specific focus that I started on as far as the voyages really started in 2006 during the Lebanese War. I've done an awful lot of work. I've worked on in the West Bank, in the occupied territories. But in 2006, there were four or five of us who got together and said, look, nobody's paying any attention to Gaza. The people of Gaza are completely imprisoned. Everybody's paying attention to Lebanon. So what can we do? What can we do to make the world pay attention to what's happening? And we had a colleague from Australia who said, you know, I have this idea. Why not sail a boat? We'll sail a boat from New York, and we'll just sail it across the ocean, and we'll sail it to Gaza. And three of us who were American said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And that's how it started.
Wow. So you're one of the originators of this idea.
Yes, there were five of us, three Americans and two Australians. And you have to remember that in 2006, this was before social media. All we had to work with was Google. We didn't have Twitter. We didn't have Facebook. We did all of the organizing on Twitter. It took us 2 years. And about 250 people, almost $700,000 collected to buy these two ramshackle boats. That's what the book is all about. And thousands of donors who stepped up and said, you know something, this might be a crazy idea, but it just might work. And in fact, it did work.
No, I think so. You paved the way for a lot of other activism and probably made it easier to do social media activism later on. It's true, you played a prominent role in the whole flotilla. I think your co-editor, Bill, was talking about the diversity of the people involved in the flotilla. Obviously, you had an interesting founding meeting there with five people, and then you met more people, and they joined the whole effort. So what kind of people were you working with internationally?
Well, what we decided to do is to see if we could get as many different kinds of people from different countries as we could. We had 17 countries represented. I think the youngest was 22, the oldest was 81. We had a wide variety of activists. We also had some high-profile people like Lauren Booth, who is the sister-in-law of Tony Blair. And so we were trying to get a mixture of people who came from around the world, who had usually had spent many years working with Palestinians and also were brave enough to get on these boats. What people have to realize is that these boats were, as our first mate said, they were walking, talking shipwrecks. If you would look at them, they were two wooden sailing boats. You had to be an activist. You had to be committed to sailing to Gaza because you wouldn't have gotten on the boats. We ended up with 44 passengers from all over the world. We said to every one of them, look, if you are not willing to get on this boat and if you're not willing to take your life in your own hands, then don't get on. And everybody got on.
No, we heard a lot about those boats on this program. You had to be brave. But it wasn't just boats that you ran into problems with. It was getting the activists around. I think you mentioned Tony Blair's sister, for example. Didn't she run into difficulties as well, just being part of the thing?
Yes, it was actually, it's his sister-in-law. It's Tony Blair's wife's sister. And she was threatened constantly. And the entire time that we were in Cyprus, it took us 2 years to finally get the boats ready and ready to go. So all the activists converged into Cyprus. We were threatened all of the time. Lauren Booth's children were threatened. They would call her up and they say, we know where your children live. You better go home because we can't guarantee that they will stay alive. I was threatened almost every day because my telephone number was part of the media team. So I was always called, there's a bomb on board, you'll never make it, do you know how to swim, we can sink your boats at any time. So with trying to organize this, and we were already late, and we were down to no money, and then to have the threats on top added was really, it was frightening for many people. Surprisingly, nobody stepped away.
Wow. I mean, people really have to consider the magnitude of this. Again, as you point out, you're not just risking the sea, the open ocean, the border patrol boats and navies and aircraft and the leakages and possible sabotage, but there's the threats to the people themselves. So you have to develop a thick skin, I think, to be involved in this kind of activism. And your strength can give strength to others. And that's why you're touring right now with your book, Freedom Sailors. And it's my understanding from Sandra that the first part of the tour primarily involves the United States. Is that true? Are you touring the U.S. right now?
Yes. I just landed in the United States a couple of days ago. I live in France part-time. I start in New York. And then I go to San Francisco to do some book tours, Oregon, Los Angeles. But I come up to Canada, I believe, something like the 28th of September to the 3rd of October. And I'm very happy to come back because actually my family is Canadian. My father comes from Canada. So for me, it's like coming home. And so I'm delighted to be coming up to Canada to talk. I also think that a lot of Canadians ended up getting involved, not so much with the first few voyages, but when the voyages began to be successful, and I think that's one thing people need to understand, we got in 5 times. There was no reason for Israel to stop us. We got in, we got into Gaza 5 times, we took many people in. Then when the Canadians started to get involved in this flotillas, people like Sandra stepped up and said, you know what, we need to be part of this. The Canadians need to be part of this. And we were awfully proud that they were that they had joined us.
Yes, you know, Harper, our prime minister, always likes to say Canada punches above our weight in international affairs. And at least I'm glad to say that we did punch above our weight on the flotilla, I think. We raised a good deal of money that we're able to participate in that particular flotilla. A number of prominent Canadian activists or Canadians that became prominent through the flotilla were present. So I'm very proud of the role that Canada played in that and working together with members of this committee in the United States, in Australia, and Ireland, and throughout the world and the Europe, Middle East, and so forth. It was a great international effort. And I guess that the book compiles a number of these stories by the internationals. You were the co-editor. I'm wondering, do you also author a section, or what was your role in the book exactly?
Yes, I authored actually many of the sections because I was one of the original co-founders. The book is a story of only the first voyage. It's not a story of the other voyages. It's a story of how persistent we were and how dumb we were and how determined we were to get there that first time. So it's a story of tremendous courage, tremendous determination. And I have a lot of the segments in there because I was there from the very beginning. We had a member who committed suicide. We had mutiny on board. We had people who were seasick. The Israelis turned off all of our communications in the middle of the sea. We had no idea where we were. We were literally sailing blind that night of the 22nd of August 2008. So the book reads like, somebody told me the book reads like an adventure movie, but you know that it's true. And I think that that's correct.
No, I mean, this whole thing sounds biblical in proportions. The seasick, is this mutiny and the blind navigation actually in the book?
Yes. All of it's in the book. We left out the sex. No, I'm kidding. There wasn't any. We didn't have any time. We were all panicked. We were so late. We were 4 weeks late. We didn't know where the boats were. All of this is in here. All of the frustration. You can read the frustration in the book because there are 24 voices in that book. The Greeks who were frustrated with us. We who were frustrated with the Greeks. People who weren't communicating with each other. You had a land team, and then you had a boat team, and everybody was angry at each other. But when the shore of Gaza showed up after 33 hours of being on that rough sea, every one of us, it's even hard for me to say it, every one of us cried because we couldn't believe it. After all of that time, we had people who were donating their Social Security checks to us. We had people who were donating their USS Liberty pensions to us. And we were there for everybody. We were the 44 people who represented civil society around the world.
I don't think there's any better way to put that. I know we were all watching. I remember, I think even there were Facebook updates, people posting the video sent to YouTube by satellite, I think, or however people could get it, the progress on the boats and what our own CBC and other news was saying about the progress or the interception of those ships. You put yourself on the front lines there for all the people in the many dozens of countries that participated. So I think we can greatly appreciate and admire that. And for those who are just tuning in, we're speaking with Greta Berlin, one of the co-founders of the Free Gaza Movement and the co-editor of Freedom Sailors. Before I go on, where's the best place to purchase Freedom Sailors if you're looking on the internet?
Well, if you are attending one of the events, of course, you can come and I will sign them personally. If not, you can just simply Google freedomsailors.com and you can buy it in several ways, mostly off Amazon. This is a self-published book, so we've published it through Amazon. The advantage to that is that we get to keep more of the money for projects such as Gaza's Ark, which, of course, is what we're working on now. The disadvantage, I guess, is that Bill and I, the two co-editors, are out almost every day going from event to event talking about the book itself, because the money that we raise, we do not keep. Bill and I aren't making any money on this. We are going to turn most of that money over to Gaza's Ark.
The Gaza Ark. Well, I guess we should wrap up looking at that particular project. Sandra was the one who introduced us to this issue. She kind of sprung it on us, actually. Truth is, I didn't know a whole lot about it until I checked out the website before speaking with her. I know that you're building a ship that is intended to take trade goods out of Gaza as opposed to into Gaza to help the Palestinian economy. So the logistics of that must be staggering.
Well, the logistics of every single one of these voyages has been staggering. When you realize that there have been 11 or 12 voyages now, that of which five are extremely successful, it's always a huge undertaking. It's expensive. We don't, if our boats, if they do stop us, they take our boats, we don't get our boats back. So what we wanted to do is to try to continue to push the envelope open. It's not enough now to go into Gaza, but we wanted to have a boat come out of Gaza. These missions have never been about delivering aid. The Palestinians are perfectly capable of taking care of themselves. They want their freedom. They want their freedom to be able to trade. They want their freedom to be able to fish, be able to go in and out of Gaza. So for us, the next logical step was to help build a boat inside Gaza, put people to work, load it with products, and then take that boat to Europe. And that's what we're going to do. And that's what anybody who buys the book, most of the money from the sales of the book will go to Gaza's Ark.
Well, we don't want to steal too much thunder from any of those two things. You are coming to Canada soon. You will be speaking in Toronto. Do you know which day you plan to be there?
I believe I'm in Toronto on the 28th of September. I think Sandra knows my schedule better than anybody does. But I think I'm in Toronto then. Then I'm in London, I believe, perhaps Hamilton. I think Montreal, Ottawa, and then I go to the West Coast, and then I do go up to Vancouver later.
Well, it sounds exciting, and certainly people can tune into this program to get the details about that tour. And if there is a Hamilton stop, it will be announced here. Of course, you will be in Toronto later this month, and people will be able to get updates from that on the website, but also right here. So, Greta, this all sounds fantastic. I congratulate you on this. I hope to see you in Hamilton and certainly, in any case, in Toronto. And I guess we'll hear from you not too long from now, physically here in Canada.
Yes, you will. So I hope everybody comes because it's a great book and a great read, and the money goes to a great project.
That sounds very good. Thanks so much for being with us today, Greta.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.